So hello everybody, good morning. Welcome to our little event today, Light Up SharePoint. Now just to make clear, that doesn't mean set it on fire, okay? Even though sometimes you might want to do that, that's not the reason for today. This event today is all about the new world of SharePoint development. Now we have a number of sessions around ways of how you can extend an existing SharePoint investment, how you can get more out of your SharePoint infrastructure, and how simple it can be to get started to build really sophisticated line of business application on top of the SharePoint platform, using the SharePoint platform for provisioning, for example, for authentication, and all the things that come out of the box with SharePoint. We have a number of different ways, or there are a number of different ways to extend SharePoint, and we want to touch on some of them. So the story today is actually made up of four parts. And that's every session we do today fits into one of these four elements. Just quick introduction. My name is Michael Koster. I work for Microsoft Corporation. So my manager sits in the US. But I myself am based in Germany, in Munich. You can hear that from my accent. I always sound like the bad guy in a World War II movie. So hopefully it's not too bad. On top of that, I got a little bit sick last week, so my voice is still a little bit under the weather, which doesn't make things any better, but hopefully you can get accustomed to that. So the storyline for today's event is you already have the platform. So who here is using SharePoint today? Okay, almost everybody. Who's not? Okay, so you will have the platform pretty soon, I'm sure. So if you already have a SharePoint infrastructure, chances are your installation, your rollout of SharePoint is very, very individual. No SharePoint setup is alike. Many of our customers use it for many, many different purposes. But what all of these SharePoint rollouts have in common is that they provide a very powerful platform for building custom application on top of. And that's what we want to talk about today, mostly how you can take more out of that SharePoint investment. And then there's more than one way to build on top of that platform. Now, previously, SharePoint development was not such a nice story. Who has done any custom SharePoint development? How did you like it? Yeah, probably not so much, because let's face it, the story so far, even though it was very much possible and sometimes very much necessary to build custom SharePoint applications, the developer story was not very nice. Developer had to go through quite a lot of jump through quite a lot of hoops to actually be able to do something with that platform. Now with SharePoint 2010 and Visual Studio 2010, this is a much better story. And we want to tell that story to you. And we also want to tell you different ways of getting started with SharePoint development. Simple way, simple and quick. And also the more complex way where you, for example, need admin access to your SharePoint box. So we want to talk about all of these different options that you might have. The tooling has matured as much as the platform. So there are many, many developer features in SharePoint 2010. There's also many, many new features in Visual Studio 2010 that specifically target SharePoint. We want to show you some examples of that. Each session today is a mix of demonstrations, live demonstrations, and PowerPoint slides. There's no Microsoft event without PowerPoint slides. But we will do as many demos as possible. So each of these talks will show you how it's done, will give you a real good example of what you can do with those tools and features. And as they are all live demos, it's also kind of risky for us because live demos can go wrong. We'll see how it goes today. In other events, didn't go quite smoothly, but we certainly hope that it's going to go just like that today. And then one very important topic, which we want to touch on in quite some detail this afternoon, is about professional software development tools and professional software development processes. We have a concept at Microsoft which we are pushing very hard, which is the concept of application lifecycle management. Now, who is aware of that, of ALM and what tools like Team Foundation Server can do for teams developing software? Has anyone heard of that? Not so much, so it's probably a pretty new topic. That's no wonder, because team development and the proper development process that spans the whole life cycle of an application, from conceptualization all the way through deployment until to management after deployment, that is a hugely important topic, because if you really want to build big applications, and SharePoint applications, SharePoint projects can get very big, then you will need a proper process in place, you will need to have proper planning, and you will need to have proper tools so that your development team can work together to produce high quality software. This is a huge topic, not just for SharePoint development, for any software development undertaking. So we want to spend a little bit of time introducing you to the ALM concept, showing you what Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio can do together. We're also going to talk about testing quite a bit. We have some new offerings in the software testing space, and of course this also applies to SharePoint applications. They must be tested before they can be rolled out, and we have tools and technologies for that. So that's the plan for today. Everything we talk about today is one of these four pillars, and this first session is about this first topic here. So SharePoint is a hugely interesting product, not just because of features and functionality, but because it's already more than 10 years in the market. If you just imagine 10 years in IT, that's like from the dinosaurs to modern man, right? It's a very, very long time. Of course, 10 years ago, we didn't have what we have today in terms of SharePoint. Every release of SharePoint has added new functionalities on top of the original product. And each of these releases, and I'm not going to go through all of them, it's just an interesting bit of historical trivia, if you will, but each and every release of SharePoint has added new out-of-the-box functionalities. So custom development, building applications on SharePoint has never played any role in that picture here. It has always been out-of-the-box functionalities. Things like business intelligence, things like enterprise content management, things like collaboration, portals, search, all of these features were released with each new release of SharePoint, and that's what companies, customers use it for today. Out-of-the-box features are the biggest growth levers for SharePoint installations. So if you buy SharePoint, probably you have one of these usage scenarios in mind. You want to use it as a departmental collaboration server for team sites. Maybe you want to use it for search. Maybe you want to use it for content management, and so on. So no SharePoint installation is alike. Everybody's putting a different emphasis, everybody's putting a different focus on their SharePoint infrastructure, what they want their SharePoint infrastructure to do. But in all of these releases, it was very much possible to develop custom application on top of this SharePoint platform, but it was very hard to do. So now, for the first time in 2010, are we actually really looking at custom development on SharePoint? And it's a really, really interesting topic because, again, you already have the infrastructure. With a little bit of effort, you can do so much more with it. Now, if you're ever in a TV show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and they ask you about SharePoint, not very likely, but if, here are some interesting trivia facts about SharePoint. In 2007, we had 35% year-over-year growth in licenses, in revenue. It was already more than $800 million a year that Microsoft had revenue with SharePoint. In 2008, Bill Gates said that SharePoint is the fastest growing product ever in Microsoft history. Now, we have a lot of products. Historically, we have even more products. We have had even more products. But SharePoint is the one that really has the biggest growth. And that's just an amazing feat for a server product, if you think about it. It's not an operating system. It's a server product. Usually, those things grow behind the scenes. But for SharePoint, it just exploded. In 2009, when the economic crisis hit, software sales slumped, but SharePoint kept on growing. It just kept on going. And that shows you how important this product actually is, not just for Microsoft, but also for all the SharePoint partners we have, for all the developers who are skilled on SharePoint development, and for all the administrators who know how to keep these SharePoint boxes running. So it's a hugely important product, not just for us, but for the whole ecosystem around it. And if you look at the ecosystem today, there's quite a lot of exciting and amazing data points around SharePoint. I'm not going to go through all of them. Just one which might be interesting is that internally at Microsoft, of course, we also use SharePoint. Our whole intranet is built on SharePoint, and today our intranet has 325,000 portals, sites and subsites, and a database size of more than 15 terabytes. So that's, I don't know if it's the largest SharePoint installation ever, but it's a huge, huge, huge SharePoint installation, which also shows the breadth of this product, from very small companies with maybe 5 to 10 users all the way up to huge, huge companies with more than 100,000 users. So this thing is almost everywhere. And that's an exciting, that's a very exciting product. And for us as developers, by the way, who's the developer here? For us as developers, it's extremely interesting to build on top of this platform because there's so much momentum, and that means that developers and development skills around SharePoint will be extremely important for years to come. So if you already have SharePoint, it's important to know that beside the out-of-the-box features like content management, like team sites, and so on, SharePoint has now matured to become sort of a middleware platform, sort of an integration platform in the enterprise. So it's very, very natural to have a SharePoint sitting in the enterprise collecting data from all those data stores, and SharePoint is the layer in the middle that pulls that data, aggregates that data, and presents that data to the user. That's an incredibly important function in any enterprise. And SharePoint now is not just this departmental team server, it's this middleware platform, which means that we can build applications on top of that middleware, and then, for example, present data in new and exciting ways. We can work with that data. We can enable our business customers to work with that data, understand that data, and so on. So building on top of this platform is something that has become incredibly easy. And I'll just talk in the next few slides a little bit about what features make that possible, what features are particularly interesting for building line of business applications on top of SharePoint. Now, I said it before that the major growth lever for SharePoint growth and adoption and interest in SharePoint has been the combination of out-of-the-box functionality, which you get with every version. And that is also what we have put a lot of focus at Microsoft. So that's what we're pushing. And if my information worker friends were standing here right beside me, they would very much dislike me for actually pushing the custom development topic in SharePoint, because the out-of-the-box functionalities are so rich and so powerful that you can do so many things with them. But now, in 2010, in SharePoint 2010 and Visual Studio 2010, for the first time, we're looking at custom development earnestly, right? We never discouraged you from building applications on top of SharePoint, but we never made it very easy for you either, right? And that's the developer story was not very good. It's getting much, much better now. Are we there yet? Is everything hunky-dory? Are we all happy bunnies? Probably not. It can get a little bit better. But what we will show you today is actually a very, very nice story. And what we want to show you today is how to get started with developing on top of SharePoint. So features, the features that have been implemented in any version of Visual Studio 2010, features like the visual designers for SharePoint projects. Rather than hacking XML files by hand, now you have visual designers and wizards helping you with that. Packaging experience. Packaging and deploying a SharePoint application previously, that was not an easy job, right? Actually, it was quite a dirty job. Now it's much, much easier because we have improved packaging, packaging designers, packaging workflow inside of Visual Studio. The F5 debugging experience. So that you, the fact that you can install SharePoint locally on a developer box, just hit F5 in Visual Studio to compile, package, deploy, and activate your solution in your local SharePoint for testing, that's a very, very nice story. It's a very smooth story. Of course, when you have a larger scale sort of deployment infrastructure with multiple environments, staging, production, and so on, the way to automate that's not yet built into our SharePoint tooling, but that's why we have our partners here, our ALM partners, our SharePoint partners, who will show you ways of automating that process. So we have a very nice story for developers, and we want to make sure that custom development on SharePoint is no longer a second-class citizen. It's a primary use, a prime use of SharePoint, and that's why it needs to be easy and seamless and smooth. So, and the push really is to take SharePoint from a departmental productivity server and put it and position it as an enterprise credible application platform for your own line of business custom applications. My PowerPoint actually gets a bit slow. Maybe too much effects in there. So just a few features that might be of interest to developers specifically. So new features in SharePoint 2010, sandboxed solutions. Now that's a primary developer feature because one of the main inhibitors and one of the main fears that I encounter at my customers when I talk about custom SharePoint development is that they're afraid it will, if they build a custom application and that application is not of the highest quality, it might bring down their SharePoint infrastructure. It might slow down their SharePoint box. There might be code in there that's malicious. There might be code that sort of threatens their installation. Now with sandbox solutions, it means you can build an application. It will run on your SharePoint in a sandbox. It will be locked down. It only has limited connection to the rest of the SharePoint system. So if your application goes down, your SharePoint infrastructure is not touched at all. Sandbox solutions also means that anyone who has admin access to a site or site collection can now build custom applications, upload them, and WSP solutions, upload them, and run them. You don't need admin access to the SharePoint box. You can do it on a site or site collection level. That means that suddenly, theoretically, everybody can build custom SharePoint applications, run them, and not need a centralized infrastructure for that. That's a very nice feature. The client object model. Now that one is hugely interesting. SharePoint historically always had a pretty good server object model. Now the client object model copies that and gives that to client applications. We have the client object model for Silverlight applications. We have it for ECMAScript, and we have it for desktop applications, WPF, WinForms, Win32, for example. What this means is you can build applications that access SharePoint data, but do not run on that SharePoint. Now, previously, if you were, for example, building a Silverlight application that accesses SharePoint data, you had to run it on the SharePoint. Otherwise, how do you authenticate? How do you make sure that that everything is accessible and so on? With the client object model, your Silverlight application can run anywhere, still access the SharePoint infrastructure, but totally abstract the fact that there is a SharePoint in the back end. In fact, there are many, many customers who are building SharePoint applications. They don't make use of the SharePoint user interface. They build their own user interface on top of SharePoint and just use it as a back end data infrastructure, data storage, a workflow engine, if you so will. That's a very nice example how SharePoint can be used as a middleware again and have a completely independent UI on top of that. And the client object model enables that, so that's a very, very interesting feature. New data interfaces and capabilities. You could access SharePoint data in various ways already. You could use the SharePoint Web Services API. You could use the server object model to sort of encapsulate and expose that data. But with SharePoint 2010, there's many, many new exciting ways of accessing SharePoint data. For example, WCF, Web Services, the REST API, which you can use, link to SharePoint, which sort of abstracts away the camel stuff, which nobody really liked. So there's many, many new ways of getting at your data when it's stored in SharePoint. And again, that's a testament how SharePoint is often used as a data storage engine, whereas the user interface is not used and just the data is accessed from outside. New workflows and so on. There's many, many, many features which make this platform so interesting for developers to build on top on. Data visualization. Now, data visualization for me is one of the primary use cases for enterprise IT. I have never met any customer of mine who didn't want their data visualized. Right? How that visualization looks could be an Excel sheet, could be charts, could be graphs, could be reporting services. That's not the point. The point is, in any enterprise, there's a need for visualization of data to see how the business is running. So data visualization is probably one of the areas where custom application development will happen most often. The fact that this will be needed much more and more in the future means that SharePoint also brings you a lot of new features in that area. Excel services, for example. Visio services. Now, that one is a real interesting thing because it means you can take your Visio diagrams, put them on a SharePoint, connect them to data, and visualize that data in those Visio diagrams. One demo that we have of that is a diagram of a server room, and whenever one of these servers goes down, the little server on the diagram lights up and shows you what's going on. Now, that's a very, very nice visualization example, and that's built entirely on functionality in Visio services that is available in SharePoint. Silverlight support. Now, who here has played with Silverlight? Okay, three people. Who has heard of Silverlight? Everybody has heard of Silverlight. Now, the thing is that Silverlight is particularly interesting when you think about data visualization. Silverlight gives you so much freedom, so much capabilities in visualizing information that it's a natural adjunct, a natural extension to SharePoint in itself. In 2010, the integration between Silverlight and SharePoint has been strengthened quite a bit. So hosting a SharePoint application on top of SharePoint hosting a Silverlight application on top of SharePoint is radically simple, much, much simpler than before, but also building really exciting user experiences for SharePoint applications with Silverlight is something that's very, very simple to do and, again, very, very powerful. And, in fact, that's what we're going to show you in the next session. We're going to show you how to build a Silverlight business dashboard. Well, not a business dashboard, but a Silverlight dashboard, which sits on top of SharePoint, pulls data from SharePoint, and visualizes that data in very, very exciting new ways. Because Silverlight is all about individual user experiences, individual user interfaces, and Silverlight and SharePoint are sort of made for each other. And again, this is actually one of the next topics here, because the simplest way to build custom application on SharePoint is actually using Silverlight. There is no simpler way than doing it with Silverlight. Developer tooling, we already talked about that. Visual Studio now supports SharePoint out of the box. You don't need to download anything. You don't need to install anything, any SDKs. It comes with Visual Studio, any version of Visual Studio out of the box. And that just highlights how important custom SharePoint development has become also in our eyes. And then power user tooling. Now, SharePoint Designer, that one is an interesting beast because previously SharePoint Designer wasn't really liked by many people. Who likes SharePoint Designer? Okay. One person. Hey. I hope in 2010 this will change because in 2010 SharePoint Designer has experienced quite a radical overhaul. There are things you can do with SharePoint Designer which will blow your mind, to put it that way. Actually, we will show you a demo later on how you can use SharePoint Designer to connect to a SQL Server data store, pull data from SQL Server, visualize it in SharePoint in a list, and then also write back to that SQL Server database from within SharePoint and even from within Outlook. All done without one line of code using SharePoint Designer. And that's just one example. There's other examples as well. For example, Visio is now also a power user tool because it allows you to create very complex workflows in a very nice and visual way. We're not going to show you Visio today, but suffice it to say, the power user tooling in SharePoint Designer is definitely something that not just power users, business users will like, but also developers. Excuse me. So what does this mean? What do all these new features in reality mean? It means that your custom application projects on SharePoint will get more complex. So we have a saying in Germany, roughly translated, it means your appetite will grow once you start eating. Right? Well, obviously, you see, for me, that's not the best thing. But it's true, right? Let's say you start simple with a SharePoint application built in Silverlight, which is very, very simple to do. Once you see the power, once you see the capabilities, you will go deeper. I guarantee you that. You will go deeper, you will explore more. And that means your projects will get more complex. And let's face it, SharePoint projects can get very, very complex compared to other development projects. That's still true for now. That's still true for 2010. There's no difference in there. You have a lot of files, you have a lot of sub-projects, you have a lot of things to manage, still, even though the tooling is much better. But SharePoint projects are complex projects. And when this complexity grows, it's very, very important to think about proper processes, development practices, code quality, unified naming conventions, just to name a few things you need to think about. So, and that's the opportunity to think about a proper ALM process. Application lifecycle management tries to take away the danger of unpredictability in software projects, and especially with complex projects like SharePoint projects, a proper ALM process and professional ALM tools will definitely help you and your team build higher quality software. So attractive new SharePoint platform features more custom development projects, because developers want to use those new sexy features. Enhanced tooling and developer support means more custom development projects, because it's easier to get started, so more people will do it. Customers looking at maximizing existing SharePoint investment projects also means more custom development projects. And as these projects get bigger and more complex, ALM tools and processes become essential to be successful in that. And that is where products like Team Foundation Server come into play. We'll show you quite a lot about Team Foundation Server today and what it can do for team development or individual development of complex projects. Now, when I talk to custom development on SharePoint to my customers, those are one of the primary objections I hear. So, for example, some customers say it's difficult to start and difficult to ramp up. You need to learn a lot of stuff before you can build SharePoint applications. Tooling support is lacking. It's difficult to get started. Well, all of these objections, each and every one of them, is grounded in reality. Because, again, the development story for 2007, up to 2007, was not the best in the world. So these conceptions, they all have a grain of truth. Right? But in 2010, we hope that we have addressed most of these objections, because all of the things we built into Visual Studio 2010 and SharePoint 2010 are supposed to address these objections and make them go away. So this is also the same kind of collection of objections. Those are the main challenges for application developers when they're trying to build on top of the SharePoint platform. In this case, it's MOS 2007. Now, we looked at that, and we tried to address all of these issues and make 2010 a much, much better developer platform. And hopefully, after today, you will agree with me that it might not be all perfect. I'm not saying that. But it's a much, much, much better story than it was previously. And hopefully, quotes like that will no longer happen. And in fact, we've been in contact with the author of that quote, and hopefully he will change his quote in the next SharePoint report. So if you're evaluating building something on top of SharePoint, you need to know that there's more than one way to build on SharePoint. There's an easy way, there's a harder way, and then there's going all in, right? Really digging deep into your SharePoint, modifying things under the hood, and that's the hard way. You don't want to jump in all the way if you're just starting out. You're just looking for an easy way to make use of that infrastructure, but not threaten it too much. If you haven't looked at Silverlight so far, I highly encourage you to look at Silverlight for that, because if you're looking to build lightly integrated, for example, data visualization applications that make use of SharePoint and make use of SharePoint data, and you want quick and attractive results, then Silverlight is your way. It's very, very simple to get started with Silverlight. Build very, very attractive applications that simply run on top of SharePoint, and those applications have the power to excite and delight your users. We're going to show you quite a number of examples of Silverlight today. You will see it everywhere, basically. And I personally am a big fan of Silverlight. I spent 3 years evangelizing Silverlight before I got my current job. But that's not the only reason. There's really a lot to be said for the capabilities of Silverlight, especially when you're talking about the SharePoint context. So Silverlight integrates well with SharePoint. A Silverlight application is just one file. You can upload that Silverlight application to a document library, have it run in a web part, and boom, it's there. Right? A Silverlight application can enrich the SharePoint user experience. We'll talk about the SharePoint user experience and the downsides of the SharePoint user experience quite a bit in the next session. Suffice it to say, if you have Silverlight in the picture, you can take that SharePoint user experience, take it to the next level. Give it that little bit of an edge, not just visually, but also from a usability perspective, that will make your business users love your application. Right? And we'll talk about what that means in more detail in the next session. Two things that, for example, Silverlight brings out of the box are the fact that you can put your Silverlight application to full screen. Now, that might not sound like much, but if you think about web parts, right, working inside of the confines of a small web part is something that's not very easy to do, especially if you have to enter data, especially if you have a lot of data to visualize, if you have lots of tables. The simple fact that you can take this web part to full screen, get the full real estate, is something that will excite and delight your users. Sounds so simple, and it is simple, but it really makes the life of a SharePoint user much, much easier. Another feature which comes out of the box with Silverlight, the fact that you can install the Silverlight application with one click on your desktop, means that you can take your web parts with you. You don't even need to visit that SharePoint once more because the data is there on your desktop in your Silverlight application. It doesn't interfere with your desktop. It's not like a normal software installation. It's just a little icon that runs this encapsulated Silverlight application. But still, that's a very, very nice way of making your SharePoint experience a little bit easier. And those are just two features which are there out of the box, right? You don't even need to develop for that. Silverlight offers great customization and design features. Now, from a designer's point of view, and I've spent quite a number of years as a designer of user interfaces, Silverlight is a dream because it allows you to do whatever you want. There's no rules how applications have to look, contrary to other development environments like maybe WinForms, where everything is sort of gray and rectangular. In Silverlight, you can do whatever you want. Of course, there's a danger, because if you can do everything, you can also do everything wrong. So you need to be careful with that. But the fact is that there's no restrictions in what you can do. You can brand it any way you want. You can make it look any way you want. You can make it behave any way you want. That's an incredible amount of freedom. And for .NET developers, Silverlight, learning Silverlight is actually pretty simple. And hopefully after the second session today, you will have an insight into how simple it really is. So if you haven't played with Silverlight yet, I hope after today, every one of you will look at Silverlight and try it out, not just in the SharePoint context, but since it's such a nice framework. So for us in the SharePoint context, Silverlight is ideal to explore SharePoint development, custom SharePoint development, to see what your business customers think of it without going all in and potentially compromising your system or spending lots of time to ramp up on arcane SharePoint development details. And this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about team sites. We're talking about applications like that. All of these are SharePoint applications, applications built on SharePoint, running on SharePoint. But as you can see, each and every one of those applications looks radically different. Right? And there's a reason for that, because somebody sat down and made sure that these applications look and behave and act like they do. And I want to give you a little example and show you an example. Now, this is a sales data sheet, an Excel sheet that shows sales data. We use those inside of Microsoft, right? So if I'm a business manager and I want to know how my product is doing all over the world, I probably open an Excel sheet like that and try to figure out what's going well and what's not going so well. And that's a perfectly valid way of doing it. It's a good way of doing it. There's a reason why Excel is the most popular front end for working with numbers in the world. But if you just want to have a quick overview, how's my business doing before you get your first coffee in the morning, such an Excel sheet is probably not the best way to do it, because you need to collect your information from these bases and then synthesize your own image in your mind. So we thought, what can we do to take this data, which today is stored in SharePoint anyway, and make it more understandable, make it more not just attractive, but make it more graspable. So I want to sit down, I want to immediately at the first glance know something's right, something's not right in my business. So when we started that, we quickly came to the, there's many, many ways how you can build something like that on SharePoint, right? You could use Excel services, you could use maybe not Visio in this case, but you can use many, many different ways. There's many, many different ways of reporting, of building reports, of building KPI dashboards and things like that. We decided to use Silverlight for that. And once we started thinking about how this stuff could look, this application could look, I have to admit we went a little bit crazy, right? Because we asked ourselves the question, hey, if you look at Hollywood movies, if you look at TV, all these applications in Hollywood movies, they don't look like what we're using every day. Why is that, right? Why are all applications gray and boring, while in Hollywood movies they're all exciting and flashy and things like that? Well, obviously the answer to that is, it's the flashy part that pays in movies. It has to look good, right? But at least a little bit, can't we just go a little bit in that direction? Well, the fact is, with Silverlight we can. And this guy here, Mark Horan, probably provided us with most of the inspiration for our little application, because that guy has the coolest job in the world. He's the guy who does the interface design for those Hollywood movie applications. So if you see Angelina Jolie using a computer in a movie, this guy has built the interface for that. Right? So we asked him if he wanted to work with us. Unfortunately, he couldn't. He didn't have the time. But he has a very, very nice video online where you can get a lot of inspiration if you want to take applications to the next level. I'm just going to play 1 or 2 minutes of that video, and then I'll show you what we built based on that inspiration. So let me just see. And you can actually, you can see that video. It's on Vimeo. And I highly encourage you to look at that. It's like 10 minutes of pure awesomeness. And especially if you want to think about how business applications could look in the future, well, certainly gives a nice outlook for that. Let me just play that. See if our internet connection holds up. And go to full screen. Buffering. By the way, I'm playing that live, so. Going to stop it here. But again, now the question we asked ourselves is a little bit. Why not a little bit? Why do business dashboards not a little bit look like that? Of course, again, I'm not saying that business applications in the future will look like Hollywood movies. That would be unreasonable. But I would wager a guess that many, many that many SharePoint applications will look much different from today. And Silverlight will play a big part in that. So let me just show you our little Silverlight dashboard, which is running on SharePoint, which is accessing data inside of SharePoint, but which is visualizing that data in very, very unique ways. So this is exactly the same data I showed you before. We pulled it into a Silverlight application, we put it on top of a map, and then we did some data aggregation, because in this Excel sheet you have these little plus signs which allow you to go deeper from world level to regional level to country level, right? It turns out that a map is an ideal mechanism to visualize that, because if you want to go deeper, you simply drill into the map and highlight that data individually, right? Now, that is just one example what you can do. This is a Silverlight application which a developer can build in half a day and then put on a SharePoint, and your business users working with that, they will love you for that, right? Because it gives them an overview how their business is going. And I said before that simple features like the full screen feature will make your life so much easier. Rather than having that tiny web part, you suddenly have your full screen. From a usability point of view, that's a huge, huge, huge benefit. And since it integrates so transparently within SharePoint, you don't even realize that it's not SharePoint you're working with, right? So that's just one example. Of course, it's a little bit out there. We spend a lot of time designing that thing, and in reality, applications probably will not look quite as flashy, but the principle is what counts here. The SharePoint experience can be enriched and enhanced, and Silverlight is the primary way of doing that. And since the new SharePoint 2010 gives you so many ways of hooking into data, pulling data into such an application, the door is wide open for similar applications like that. And of course, I could also install this thing on my desktop. This is also the feature that is there out of the box. I could host it outside of SharePoint. I could host it in a web part. I could host it on a page inside of SharePoint. So many, many, many ways of putting these little islands of interactivity into any SharePoint infrastructure. I'll show you how to build that business dashboard in the next session, by the way. This is our demo. We'll start from nothing, and then we'll build such a map dashboard with interactive overlays step by step. So those are the kinds of demos you can expect today, really showing you how to do those things. And we have each and every demo we do today, we also have a step-by-step tutorial, which you can download afterwards if you want to play with that by yourself. Visual Studio 2010. Brings a lot to the table for SharePoint developers. In 2007, SharePoint development was quite messy, right? Anyone who has ever built a SharePoint application or customized SharePoint knows that. It was not a nice experience. And the reason is that we have never focused on SharePoint development as a first-class citizen when selling SharePoint. In 2010, there's many, many features which make your life easier. So in 2007, the Visual Studio experience was quite limited. There were some extensions, but mostly it was community supplied tools that you had to use to actually do something, develop something on top of SharePoint. Still, even with those community tools, there were many, many tedious details that any developer had to struggle with. They had to edit lots and lots of XML files. They had to package things difficultly. They had to attach the debugger to the SharePoint process by hand. So all of these things, that should not be necessary. It should be done for you automatically. And that is what in 2010 has been very much improved. So in Visual Studio 2010, we were striving for a unified development experience. We wanted to make it possible to develop locally on your developer box, and that also means that you need to be able to install SharePoint on Windows 7, for example. That you don't no longer need a server environment to install SharePoint, you can install it on a client operating system. Now that sounds good. In practice, it's still a little bit wonky, but it's very much possible, right? So a local development environment to set that up is actually pretty straightforward, pretty simple. TFS integration, especially if you have a team of developers. Now, SharePoint development is very often an individual developer or a few people, but if your team grows larger, how do you integrate that team? How do you make them work together? How do you make sure that all the work the team does is preserved and doesn't impact each other. That is where TFS, the Team Foundation Server, comes into the picture. Now, Team Foundation Server now has the capability of building SharePoint assets. You can have a build server that builds SharePoint, right? That builds for SharePoint. That wasn't possible before. Now it's very much possible. Visual designers. Previously, we only had two templates for SharePoint. One was an empty SharePoint project, I think, which was not very helpful at all. And then there was a workflow, I believe. Now we have designers for everything. So when you fire up Visual Studio, you have tons and tons of SharePoint project templates, from web parts all the way up to really complex data models. So that has been included in 2010 as well. The debugging experience, actually very nice. You hit F5. It compiles, packages, and deploys your application package to your local SharePoint. It then attaches the debugger, and you are able to actually go step by step through your code while it's running on your local SharePoint. And when you shut down the debugger, it will retract that solution automatically. So that's a very, very nice, seamless experience. And so on. You will see how this works in the third session today, where we will introduce the SharePoint development tools, and we will show you how to build different kinds of SharePoint artifacts and how to deploy and how to package and deploy those. Again, this is just for informational. Today, you will hear much, much more about that in the appropriate session. Also, the F5 debugging experience will be explained in a little bit more detail, so you will actually see how it's done in the real world. Which brings us to the last story for last story point for today. As your applications get more complex, and if you're looking to build a really, really complex line of business applications, which is maybe essential for your business, then you need to be aware that you need a proper process in place, a proper development process. That is true for any software development project, not just for SharePoint projects. But again, SharePoint projects have often been overlooked when we are talking about ALM, when we are talking about development processes. So Visual Studio and TFS together are a complete package that allow you to build high-quality applications, that allow teams to build high-quality applications, and they focus on each and every aspect of the software development cycle, from architecture up to development, to quality assurance, and of course, everything needs to be reported all the time so that project managers have always insight into what's going on in their development project. Now, we will look at that in quite some detail this afternoon. It's a hugely interesting topic, and even though we're putting it primarily in a SharePoint context today, I want you to know that this is something that's applicable to any software development project. So TFS and Visual Studio together can really, really help your teams build better software. In SharePoint, the challenges around application lifecycle management were actually plentiful. So, for example, how to version features correctly. How do you know what is rolled out, and how do you upgrade all these already existing features on your SharePoint installation? There was no proper process in place. There was no proper support for versioning in place. Versioning is an ALM function, is an ALM feature. So in 2010, SharePoint is now very much aware of different versions of features, and upgrading them is pretty seamless and straightforward. Also, the fact that SharePoint 2007 development, the story was inconsistent in terms of how do you build your applications, how do you package your applications. There were no centralized way to structure your WSP files. There was no central sort of guideline how to build up your SharePoint application. All of that has been done much, much better in 2010, where we provide guidance on how to structure your application. Everything structured the same way. The file structure, the deployment structure, where to put files, all of that has been clarified, all of that has been streamlined. And that's also an important an important fact that needs to be in place in order to institute a proper ALM process. So in 2010, the lifecycle management is actually part of the platform, both of the SharePoint platform and the development tools in Visual Studio 2010. So it's a much, much better story than before. But the important thing is, even though this is much better than before, you still need to do proper process planning. You still need to have a deployment plan. You still need to have a test plan. You still need to have some brains behind that. The tools can help you with that, but it's not automatic. And that is why it's important to be aware of the concept of ALM. It's important to be aware that you need such kind of a process planning. We help you with that, but again, we cannot do all the work automatically. There is still some planning required. So what TFS gives you, and we'll look at TFS in quite some detail today, is sort of a central repository for every bit of information that comes up and is created during software development. So we call that work items. For example, a requirement is a work item. A requirement needs to be stored in a central repository because the requirement is what ultimately needs to be built. So requirements, tasks, use cases, also things like bugs, test cases, all of these things that happen during a development project, they end up in Team Foundation Server. And if you have them all in this central repository, you can link them up. You can connect them. For example, it's very easy to say what quality is your code if you connect the successful test cases to requirements and tasks. If you have all of these work items connected to each other, you can make a pretty good you can get a pretty good picture of the quality of your code, right? So the more you put into that central repository, the more insight you will have at any given point in time how your project is doing. And that is sort of the basic premise behind TFS as a central repository. Who here is using TFS, Team Foundation Server? What do you use it for? Source control. Yeah, that's sort of the history of TFS, that it is a source code repository. But I want you to be aware there's so much more that TFS can do for you. Source control is just one facet of this product. And we will show you the other facets today. We'll talk a little bit about testing. We'll talk a little bit about code quality. We'll talk about all the features that make TFS so much richer than just a source control system. And where it really becomes important to have something like that in place is if your infrastructure, if your SharePoint infrastructure looks like that. That's a pretty big one, right? So we have a team of people working together. We have different staging, production, pre-production servers. And if you want to automate the whole process from individual developer up all the way up to deployment, then this is something where TFS and the ALM concept really comes into picture. If you're just building individual web parts for your own SharePoint, that's probably a little bit... You probably don't need TFS for that, right? But if your project becomes bigger and if your project impacts your whole enterprise because your application is so important, then TFS and the ALM concept is something that you cannot overlook. So we'll show you a few other things this afternoon. We'll show you different ways of setting up your development environment. We'll show you how to do automated builds with Team Foundation Server. That's also a very interesting topic. And Team Foundation Server as a build engine now natively understands SharePoint. And we'll also show you what testing really means. So user testing, manual testing, for example, is something that every team does differently. In one team, they don't even have test plans. Or if they have test plans, it's a Word document or an Excel sheet, right? Who does the testing? Is it a developer? Is it a business analyst? Is it a business customer? It's different for everybody, right? So the testing area is something that can also be highly automated. And we'll show you some examples of that, especially in the SharePoint context, how you can use a new product of Microsoft, the Microsoft Test Manager, to really streamline manual testing for your SharePoint or any other application by that way. So this is the plan for today. This is the agenda for today, and we'll go step by step through each of these agenda points. We already covered number one in this session now, and now in the second session, we'll look a little bit deeper at Silverlight and how to get started with SharePoint development in Silverlight, and then we'll look at the tooling, the Visual Studio tooling, and then we'll look at the ALM features in the afternoon. So for now, I would say we take a little break because I need some time to set up my next demo. Shall we take 10 minutes, Tiago? 10 minutes? Okay.